you got?
Cooking.
How about cooking something up with me?
Let's stir it up, boys.
Welcome to the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show, a weekly excursion into the fine art of preparing the world's most popular recipes under an open sky and an open flame. Boyd's One Stop is located at the base of the Texas City Dike. Now, here's the old grill sergeant, Randy Hayes.
Tis the season to be thankful. And yes, I know, I started the show off with that same line last week. But as I also said last week, we have so much to be thankful for, don't we? And again, just like last week, I'll acknowledge that 2020 has not been the best year on record. After all, humankind has faced the worst pandemic since the Spanish flu 100 years ago, and COVID-19 has absolutely wrecked our economy in the process. We've endured one of the most caustic and divisive elections in the history of the United States, and the ripple effects from that election are still tearing us apart as a nation. So there can be no doubt, 2020 has been a rough year, but I still insist, we have so much to be thankful for. And if you disagree, that's okay. Everybody's got a right to their own opinion about this. But you know, I hearken back to an old TV commercial from when I was a much younger man. It depicted a cute little old lady who said something like,
"Every day when I get up, I have two choices. I can choose to be happy or I can choose to be sad. Today, I choose to be happy."
Yeah, that pretty much says it all for me. But I do have 8 minutes left in this segment, so I can't just leave it at that. And you won't be surprised to hear that I won't. Just leave it at that, I mean. The first Thanksgiving, yes, I looked it up. You know me, Google is your friend. The first Thanksgiving was celebrated in 1621 by the colonists in Plymouth, of course. As a side note, the pilgrims at Plymouth were not the first European settlers in the New World, contrary to what most Americans think. The first English settlement was actually at Jamestown in what is modern-day Virginia, and that was 13 years before the pilgrims landed at Plymouth Rock. But that's beside the point. It's just a historical footnote that most of us don't know or even think about. Anyway, the pilgrims at Plymouth decided to hold an autumn harvest feast to thank God for giving them safe passage to the New World and for providing the necessities they needed to survive. Most of us remember the story from history class in school, but to put things in perspective, it took the Mayflower 66 days to cross the Atlantic Ocean, and then they dropped anchor near the tip of Cape Cod, which was way north of where they intended to land, near the mouth of the Hudson Bay. About a month later, they crossed Massachusetts Bay and established a village at Plymouth. That first winter was nothing short of brutally cold, so most of them actually stayed on board the ship because they hadn't been able to construct any buildings yet. But here's the real kicker. Only half of the Mayflower's original passengers and crew lived to see spring. Just like the Jamestown colony before it, the settlers suffered from, well, obviously exposure to the cold, but also scurvy and several new contagious diseases that they'd never encountered before they came to the New World. Nice welcome wagon, huh? And despite losing 50% of their friends and relatives, the pilgrims still found reasons to be thankful to God. So in November of 1621, Governor William Bradford organized a celebratory feast for their first harvest of corn. Many of us think that corn was a new crop for the pilgrims, but that's not entirely accurate. Europeans had corn, but European corn was meager by comparison to the Indian corn that Native Americans taught them how to grow. The Indian corn, that's what the pilgrims called it, was much easier to grow in large quantities, and it was much more hardy and nutritious than the corn the settlers were accustomed to back in Europe. So when Governor Bradford put together this harvest feast in November of 1621, he invited the Native Americans to join them, because after all, it was the Native Americans who taught them how to cultivate the land and how to grow the corn in the first place. Without the knowledge and advice of the Native Americans, there's no doubt all of the Pilgrims would have died at Plymouth, and American history would look very different indeed. And I don't think I need to overemphasize the irony of how cooperation between the Pilgrims and the Native Americans translates over to current events, do I? It's just my personal opinion. But I think our modern-day politicians should follow the example of collaboration and harmony set by the Pilgrims and the Native Americans, what, almost 400 years ago? They need to put aside their petty partisan differences and start working for the good of the American people instead of focusing on trying to gain more partisan political power. And be sure you understand, I'm talking about both sides here, not just one or the other. Yeah, I know, old moderate Randy. I'm moderately moderate and moderately proud of it. But could there be a better example in our nation's history than the cooperation between the Pilgrims and the Native Americans? And that brings us around to Thanksgiving. William Bradford and Massasoit, that's the Native American chief, they worked together in a way that our modern-day politicians haven't done in a generation or more. And that's shameful in my mind, but I'm thankful for their example. Bradford and Massasoit put aside their petty partisan differences. They worked for the good of all the people instead of focusing on trying to gain more partisan political power. And what did that result in? Decades of peace and growth for both sides. So there's the first item on a list of things that I'm thankful for. The example that Bradford and Massasoit set for generations of Americans that followed. Not that we seem to have paid much attention to it, but we can still change our attitudes. We can follow their leadership if we try, and I strongly believe we should. But there are so many other things we have to be thankful for. At least, I have a lot of things to be thankful for, and that's what I'm going to try to focus on during this Thanksgiving season. First of all, I'm thankful for my health and the health of my immediate family, and that's not something I take for granted. I'm 72 years old, and generally speaking, my wife and I are in remarkably good health for people our age. I have several friends who are dealing with some really serious health issues at this stage in life, and I thank God that neither of us have had to face those things so far. And of course, there's the ongoing pandemic of COVID-19. More on that later on the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show. Cindy and I have maintained strict quarantine rules, and I thank God that neither of us has contracted the disease yet. Our son Derek thinks he got it very early on, March or April, but he's completely recovered, and his entire family is asymptomatic ever since. Plus, I think we've even figured out a way to quarantine and test adequately so that we can spend time together on Thanksgiving with masks and proper social distancing, to be sure. So that's another thing I'm thankful to God for. But there are so many other day-to-day blessings that we don't even notice, like sanitary drinking water, plenty of nutritious food to help keep our immune systems effective so we can fight off diseases of all kinds, not just COVID-19. Let's face it, there are millions of people worldwide who don't have those simple basics like food and water, and they're facing the same pandemic we are, so I'm thankful to God for that, too. In that same vein, we should all be thankful to God for the first responders and health workers. They put their own well-being on the line every day. They simply don't get enough credit for their courage and dedication to the job. Very few people would do that right now. And let's not forget about the everyday people who go to work in grocery stores and pharmacies and hardware stores and restaurants and lots of other places we depend on to keep life going. And you know, in many cases, they've even developed curbside pickup systems. So people in the high-risk groups like me, senior citizens, we don't have to walk in the store and be exposed to the infection more directly. We should be thankful to God for those people, too. And we're just scratching the surface here, because there are thousands of other things for which we should be thankful to God during this season of Thanksgiving. And we wanted to start this edition of the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show by highlighting a few of those blessings. I fervently pray that you can find some of those blessings in your own life and celebrate them during this holiday. So, happy Thanksgiving to all of you. Remember, when you wake up in the morning, you can choose to be happy or you can choose to be sad. Today, I choose to be happy and thankful.
If your barbecue's gone up in smoke and your cooking reputation is at stake, stick around. The Old Grill Sergeant will be right back with more ideas and advice to make your next cookout sizzle.
Boyd's One Stop. The name says it all. If you like seafood, you'll love Boyd's, conveniently located at the base of the Texas City Dyke. Boyd's One Stop has bait, tackle, fresh seafood, and even a restaurant, all at 227 Dyke Road. If you fish Galveston Bay, Boyd's is the one and only stop for everything you need. There's a reason why they're called the live shrimp capital of Texas. But they've also got lots of finger mullet, croaker, plus fresh dead shrimp, shad, and squid. Plus, Boyd's has tackle galore, ice and ice chests, and cold drinks and snacks. Just need fresh fish for a family seafood feast? The freshest seafood, like table shrimp, live blue crab, and crawfish when in season, is in stock and ready for you at Boyd's. And if you're hungry right now, check out Boyd's Cajun Grill Express right next door, with a wide variety of breakfast, lunch, and dinner items like crawfish, oyster po'boys, and fried seafood platters. Boyd's One Stop, the name says it all. 227 Dyke Road at the base of the Texas City Dyke. It's Randy Hames again. Everybody needs a video or a new website or help in managing their social media, and my company, Edgewater Digital, can help. We help small businesses navigate the intimidating world of digital marketing. You've got a business to run, and you don't have time or expertise to build and maintain your website all by yourself, and you certainly don't have time to generate content for it. And when's the last time you had an extra hour or two to manage your company's internet ads or social media accounts? Like, never, right? Well, at Edgewater Digital, that's what we do. We have a talented web design team who've built a number of incredibly successful websites for companies large and small. Need content too? No problem. Edgewater can provide copywriting, photography, and videography services to enhance the content on your website, email marketing, or even social media. We're a full-service digital marketing solution with a track record of success. Call us today at 832-500-4272 or see our website, edgewater-digital.com. Randy Hames here, proud to introduce you to Belleville Meat Market, just 15 minutes south of Hempstead and 15 minutes north of Seeley on Highway 36 in Belleville. My good friends Jared and Marcus Poffenberger operate Belleville Meat Market, an old-fashioned butcher shop with superior products and great customer service. There's always a butcher on site at Belleville Meat Market, and their new processing plant is right next door. Hunters, a computer tracking system will follow your venison, wild hog, or exotics through every step of the process to ensure you get your meat your way. At Belleville Meat Market, you can pick and choose the cuts of beef, pork, or chicken you want, and they feature 28 flavors of pecan smoked sausage. Plus, Belleville Meat Market only uses lean pork in their sausage, so you get more meat and less fat. Tailgaters, drop by on your way to the game and get just what you need to feed your crew. Belleville Meat Market, just 15 minutes south of Hempstead and 15 minutes north of Seeley on Highway 36 in Belleville. Visit BellevilleMeatMarket.com or call 979-865-5782.
Hey guys, Randy Hames here to tell you about my good friend Rick Allspa at the original Allspa's Hardware and Boutique in Kingwood. I've known Rick for years, and he's one of the finest Christian men I've ever met, but he's also got a dynamite hardware store at 2720 West Lake Houston Parkway in Kingwood. The original Allspa's Hardware and Boutique has everything you'd expect to find in a top-of-the-line hardware store, but with the personal service that's missing from the big-box stores. The original Allspa's Hardware and Boutique has tools and automotive, lawn and garden, electrical and plumbing, paint and hardware, all under one roof. But Rick is also an avid backyard chef, so the original Allspa's Hardware and Boutique features a complete barbecue pit house. From gas to charcoal grills to fryers and steamers, they've got it all at the original Allspa's Hardware and Boutique. They even offer grill maintenance and repair. Visit their website, allspas.com, or just drop by and see for yourself. The original Allspa's Hardware and Boutique at 2720 West Lake Houston Parkway in Kingwood.
Life is simple. Eat, sleep, grill. This is the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show. Boyd's One Stop is located at the base of the Texas City Dyke. Now, here's the grill father, Randy Hames.
If you look up the word cute in the dictionary, you're going to find a picture of Mellie Gomez right next to it. And here she is now. Hi, Mellie.
Hi, Randy.
It's good to talk to you. You are absolutely the embodiment of cute, and you are also one of the most knowledgeable chefs we've ever featured on the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show, so welcome back. Haven't talked to you since last summer. What's going on?
I would like to tell you that things have changed, but things have not changed.
Sorry to hear that.
That's okay. Things are good. Family is good. Our kids are back in school, which is amazing. They're all doing their sports and their extracurricular activities.
Yes, you've spoken like a true mother, and I can relate completely. Yes, I know. The kids are back in school. Freedom!
As much as I love my children, it is good to have a little bit of individualism.
Well, what about Mellie V Catering? How has all of this impacted Mellie V Catering?
Business has been really good. We are still doing the markets in the Heights. We still do Eleanor's on Saturdays, and we've done various other markets. Small business is doing very well, or at least for myself. The communities have been very awesome with their support. There's a lot of neighbors in the community who prefer to go to the markets as opposed to the grocery stores, which is understandable, you know, directly where your food is coming from. We've been trying new things other than French macaron. So we have pies for Thanksgiving, things that are set for a little bit more individual purposes as opposed to wide catering. That way families and individuals are still getting meals without having to have large gatherings.
So how can people get in contact with you, Mellie?
So we do have our website up and running. It's mellievcatering.square.site. And then Instagram is also big for us. This is where you can see where we're going to be holding markets at and what new items that we're featuring. You can find us on Instagram at mellyv_catering.
And V, by the way, is V for vegetables. Because sometimes on the radio, those things get misunderstood, right?
Yes.
You mentioned your kids are back in school, in-person classes. So let's talk about classes. Mellie is a highly skilled cooking instructor. Just imagine that's been ever so slightly interrupted because of COVID-19. Do you still offer individual in-home cooking classes for people?
Yes, I do. Classes have definitely slowed down, but we still do personal one-on-one classes. I wanted to do a widespread of online classes, but unfortunately there have been some setbacks. But we do offer individual classes, whether in person or online. I know some people are still not comfortable leaving their home, which is completely understandable. But if you've got a computer, you've got a phone, we can still make it happen.
And even if they are in person, these classes would all be properly masked and social distanced, right?
Absolutely. It is what the individual is comfortable with. But of course, I understand everybody has health concerns. You know, I have been a chef for a very, very long time. this is actually year number 15, if you can believe it or not.
Wow.
So yes, cleanliness, hygiene is our number one priority.
What are some of the most popular classes that people request from you these days?
Pasta is always a favorite. It's not a very costly food item. It's very easy to make, but it's also very fun. It takes a lot of hands on deck to get the pasta done. And then, of course, French macarons are always a number one as well.
Well, I remember you taught a class on from scratch homemade pasta. And I said at the time, it sounded like it was too difficult for my old brain to process. And you said something like, you just need to take the class, Randy. I promise it's really easy. You remember that?
I sure do. And I was not lying.
So how do people get in contact with you to contract those services?
On our website, it's not on the list. Just our individual items are on the list. But we do have a section at the bottom of the page where you can send us a direct email with any type of request that you have. You can also find us again on Instagram or even on Facebook. It's mellyv_catering. I respond to all messages. My phone is always in my hands. You can text, email, call, send a smoke signal if you'd like.
Ugh. Yes, me send smoke signal, Kimosabe. Another aspect of cooking that's been altered significantly during the pandemic is shopping for groceries. Now, you're young and fit. I'm old and flabby. So going to the supermarket is no longer an option for me. Do you shop in person?
I do, but over the years, I've used a lot of different services, especially when I had widespread classes. So I've used Instacart before. They're a fabulous service. I've also used the Kroger curbside pickup. I used HEB pickup. They are super fabulous. They have a lot of options for guests to add in customization. So if you want a certain color of something, say like you want a red mango as opposed to a yellow mango, you're able to add that feedback and add those comments in there. So that way you make sure that you are getting the groceries that you'd like.
Well, I'm 72. So curbside pickup is the only way we get any kind of food in my household. So are there any tips you can give us to make that curbside or that delivery more efficient?
Just make sure you have good communication. You're not always going to be able to pick your shopper, so you have to keep that in mind. But you can add the details that you want to your order. You can even call the store if you're doing direct pickup from Kroger or direct pickup from HEB. You're not using a third service. You can even call them and speak to their department. In my experience, everybody has been super friendly and super awesome. So if you have special requests, if you don't see something that's online, but you know for sure that the store holds it, they're usually very good about their customer service, and they're usually very good about keeping everybody in the know.
Before the pandemic, I used to go to the grocery store multiple times a week. I used to joke, if I don't show up at the store at least every other day, they'll send somebody out to our house to do a wellness check on us. I don't really miss the trips to the store, but I do miss being able to pick out my own fruits and vegetables and cuts of meat, because we're pretty picky about that kind of stuff. I'll give you a good example. My wife ordered 8 bananas one day, and when I picked up the order, I was to blame. I'm always to blame. But the 8 bananas they gave us were so green that we had eaten all of them before they even got ripe. How do we avoid things like that?
Again, just communication, just trying to put in to your order. And I've had the same experience when I've used online services before, that I ordered 8 bananas and they gave me 8 pounds of bananas instead of 8 individual. So sometimes it does happen. The good thing is that after you receive your order, if something's not right, you can go back and you can review it as well. I'm not sure about the individual store curbside, but I know for Instacart that they'll actually give you a refund, or they'll send someone out to repurchase the item for you.
8 pounds of bananas, my daughter would simply say, okay, this is a good reason for banana pudding.
You know, with every person that I saw, I was handing bananas out like crazy. Probably thought I was a crazy woman for having so many bananas. And everybody I saw, I begged them, please take a banana from me.
But shopping for everyday groceries gets kicked up about a notch or two when we start talking about Thanksgiving dinner, which is coming up this Thursday. So how do we trust a professional shopper to pick out the right turkey, for instance?
So this year, I know, is going to look a little bit different for most households. I know even just how do you go from serving 20 to serving 2 is going to be a little bit difficult for some. I think what most at-home chefs need to keep in mind is that we need to be a little bit realistic with the amount of food that we're going to buy. So if you are having family over, awesome. You may want to get a 20, 30-pound turkey if it's just going to be you and your spouse, or, you know, a very small get-together. You might want to do more of like a 12-pound turkey.
Okay, so let's just cut to the chase here, Melly. Will you go to the store for me?
You know, I thought you were trying to hint at something, and I really wasn't sure. But, Randy, of course I'll go to the store for you. I'll buy everything perfect for you.
We also trust Melly's judgment when it comes to preparing Thanksgiving dinner, from the turkey to the stuffing to the veggies, all the way down to the pumpkin or the pecan pie, or maybe both. So can you stick around for another segment and talk to us about that?
I guess so.
Stay patient. Dinner will be ready right after this smoke alarm goes off. Randy will be right back with more smoking hot tips for you and your old plane right after this short break.
Hey guys, Randy Hames here to tell you about my good friend Rick Allspaw at the original Allspaw's Hardware and Boutique in Kingwood. I've known Rick for years, and he's one of the finest Christian men I've ever met, but he's also got a dynamite hardware store at 2720 West Lake Houston Parkway in Kingwood. The original Allspaw's Hardware and Boutique has everything you'd expect to find in a top-of-the-line hardware store, but with the personal service that's missing from the big-box stores. The original Allspaw's Hardware and Boutique has tools and automotive, lawn and garden, electrical and plumbing, paint and hardware, all under one roof. But Rick is also an avid backyard chef, so the original Allspaw's Hardware and Boutique features a complete barbecue pit house. From gas to charcoal grills to fryers and steamers, they've got it all at the original Allspaw's Hardware and Boutique. They even offer grill maintenance and repair. Visit their website, allspaws.com, or just drop by and see for yourself. The original Allspaw's Hardware and Boutique at 2720 West Lake Houston Parkway in Kingwood. Boyd's One Stop. The name says it all. If you like seafood, you'll love Boyd's, conveniently located at the base of the Texas City Dyke. Boyd's One Stop has bait, tackle, fresh seafood, and even a restaurant, all at 227 Dyke Road. If you fish Galveston Bay, Boyd's is the one and only stop for everything you need. There's a reason why they're called the live shrimp capital of Texas. But they've also got lots of finger mullet, croaker, plus fresh dead shrimp, shad, and squid. Plus, Boyd's has tackle galore, ice and ice chests, and cold drinks and snacks. Just need fresh fish for a family seafood feast? The freshest seafood, like table shrimp, live blue crab, and crawfish when in season, is in stock and ready for you at Boyd's. And if you're hungry right now, check out Boyd's Cajun Grill Express right next door, with a wide variety of breakfast, lunch, and dinner items like crawfish, oyster po' boys, and fried seafood platters. Boyd's One Stop, the name says it all, 227 Dyke Road at the base of the Texas City Dyke. Hi, friends. Randy Hames to tell you about Cellular and Satellite. Cellular and Satellite are specialists in wireless data plans for businesses. Because they buy in large quantities, Cellular and Satellite can give you a data plan on the same provider you're using today, but at a lower cost. Cellular and Satellite can also combine the two largest wireless providers into a single data plan. Two carriers with better coverage, but only one invoice to pay. If your workforce is international, Cellular and Satellite offers a global data SIM with fixed pricing in over 200 countries. You'll never have to pay international roaming charges again with Cellular and Satellite. And they can handle all your wireless data needs, whether you need 10 or 10,000 data SIMs. So if you're an IT professional, mobility manager, or business owner, save money and increase your network availability by letting Cellular and Satellite simplify your wireless life. Call Cellular and Satellite today, 832-551-1000, or go to cellularandsatellite.com. Randy Hames here, proud to introduce you to Belleville Meat Market, just 15 minutes south of Hempstead and 15 minutes north of Sealy on Highway 36 in Belleville. My good friends Jared and Marcus Poffenberger operate Belleville Meat Market, an old-fashioned butcher shop with superior products and great customer service. There's always a butcher on-site at Belleville Meat Market, and their new processing plant is right next door. Hunters, a computer tracking system will follow your venison, wild hog, or exotics through every step of the process to ensure you get your meat your way. At Belleville Meat Market, you can pick and choose the cuts of beef, pork, or chicken you want, and they feature 28 flavors of pecan smoked sausage. Plus, Belleville Meat Market only uses lean pork in their sausage, so you get more meat and less fat. Tailgaters, drop by on your way to the game and get just what you need to feed your crew. Belleville Meat Market, just 15 minutes south of Hempstead and 15 minutes north of Sealy on Highway 36 in Belleville. Visit BellevilleMeatMarket.com or call 979-865-5782.
Stand back. We've got our grill on. This is the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show. Boyd's One Stop is located at the base of the Texas City Dyke. Now, here's the grill father, Randy Hames.
As I said last week, 'tis the season to be thankful, and there's no one we're more thankful for than our good friend Melly Gomez, who's not only an experienced chef, but she's got an extensive background as a cooking instructor. So thanks for your help today, Melly. We appreciate it.
Of course. I love being here with you.
Let's get started on Thanksgiving dinner, because it's coming up Thursday. And I don't know about you, but my wife takes about
3 days to cook all the elements for that big family meal. How far in advance do you begin the process?
You know, honestly, it's a good time to start right now, or at least this week.
Wow.
It sounds pretty crazy, but you also have to remember that your turkeys need plenty of time to defrost. That way they can cook properly on Thursday.
Do you speed defrost the turkey, or what technique do you use?
Are you asking as a friend, or are you asking as a customer? I'm just kidding. So the best way, the best way to defrost your turkey is going to be in the refrigerator. That's the best way to defrost anything. I know that usually we have busy schedules. It's easy just to throw, you know, everything in the sink and let it sit and come down. But you have to remember that your turkeys are very big birds, or sometimes they're very big birds. So when you leave it to defrost at room temperature, a lot of times the outside, so like the turkey breast and, you know, and parts of the legs will get defrosted more so than the inside, which can really be a good breeding ground for bacteria. So it's best to take out your turkey. If you're going to cook it on Thursday morning, it's best to take it out either this Friday or this Saturday and leave it inside your refrigerator. So that way it can really get a lot of that frozenness off, but it's not getting too warm where bacteria will grow. It's going to take about 3 to 4 days, maybe even longer, just depending on how big your little lady is.
See, this is why we have you on the show, Melly. And a lot of people like to brine the turkey. How do you feel about that technique?
I'm not a fan of wet brining. I'm more a fan of dry brining. So wet brining is whenever you put it, say, in like a big bucket or a big pot, and you have very salty water with it. The reason I'm not a fan of it is that we're in Texas. A lot of people like to deep fry their turkeys, which is awesome. But you cannot do a wet brine and deep fry your turkey. That's when a lot of uh-ohs happen, because with that wet brine, all of that water, all of that moisture gets sucked into your turkey. So it adds good moisture if you're doing it in the oven. But remember, water and oil are not friends. So that's a really good way to start a grease fire in your house.
Ooh.
When you do a dry brine, it's whenever you have salt. And usually I like to add different spices and seasonings to it, like sage and rosemary. But it's just the salt itself, and you rub it all over your turkey, all over the skin, sometimes even underneath the skin. So I put it on a big tray and a roasting rack, so that way all of the moisture that does come out from the salt, it drips out of the turkey, and it drips down into the pan, so I'm not having excess moisture, but I'm still able to have all of the beautiful flavor. I'm still able to have what moisture my turkey does have, and I'm able to deep fry it without the risk of too much water.
Now, you mentioned deep fat frying the turkey a moment ago. Also, there's roasting or smoking the turkey. Which one do you prefer?
I prefer to spatchcock my turkey. Do you know what that is?
Yes, I've heard that, but I've never tried it.
So it's just like when you're doing chicken under a brick. You take out the spine of your poultry and you lay it down flat. Once it's nice and flat, I like to brine it. So I do my turkeys a little bit different. I don't usually do just the traditional phase. I like to add a little bit of star anise and a little bit of orange zest to it. And then I do the dry brine over my turkey. I let her sit in the refrigerator for about a day or two. And then I roast it inside of the oven.
Now we come to the dressing. My wife makes killer cake cornbread. She always crumbles up the cake of her homemade cornbread and mixes it together with some commercially made stuffing mix to make the dressing. How do you construct your dressing?
I make mine similar to bread pudding, just a little bit less custard.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't do the sugar in it, so it's not sweet. But I do the eggs, I do the cream, I sometimes add in other vegetables like celery, so I have some crunchiness. I do lots of mushrooms, so it has a good savory flavor to it. And I toss my bread in it. Sometimes I use sourdough, sometimes I use ciabatta, sometimes I use cornbread. It just kind of depends how I feel that day, to be honest.
Yeah.
But I toss it in this little bit of custard. I let it sit on the rack for a little bit, so I make sure that my bread is really absorbing it, and then I put it inside of the oven. I'm not a big fan of doing dressing and stuffed inside of my turkey, just because there is always a higher risk of bacteria growth when you do that.
Yeah, I was just going to ask you that. And I've always told my wife, once we run out of gravy, you can just throw the rest of the dressing away, because the gravy makes the meal. What kind of gravy do you make with turkey and dressing? Giblet gravy?
Sometimes I do giblet gravy. I like to do a combination of the giblets, the turkey neck, and the pan drippings that I get as my turkey is roasting. Gravy is always an afterthought for me just because it's so easy to throw together. So I like to add anything that I have left over to it. So if I have leftover herb stems, don't throw those away. Add those into your gravy. Just because you can't eat the stems doesn't mean that you can't use them for their flavor. I do my orange peels in there. I even do sometimes little bits of cranberry pieces that are not so pretty.
Yeah.
I add those in there too. Of course, my turkey drippings. It's more like witch's brew than a gravy. Just because I'm adding everything to it. A little bit of wine, a little bit of bourbon, a little bit of this, a little bit of that. But usually I do my gravy at the very end just so I can add in any extra little bit of flavoring bits to it.
I think we've coined a phrase here, witch's brew gravy. You might consider trademarking that, Millie.
You have to make sure you have the right size cauldron, the right kind of paddle so you can stir it properly.
Bubble, bubble, toil and trouble. It's time to talk about side dishes now. Which ones do you like to serve with turkey and dressing? Green beans and mashed potatoes are staples in my family, but my darling baby daughter also loves from-scratch macaroni and cheese. Talk about what you like to serve.
I don't think there is a single meal that I cannot serve with mac and cheese in my house.
How old are your kids again now?
My kids are teenagers.
Yeah.
And they love carbs. Carbs, everything, especially since they're playing sports now. But mac and cheese is always a staple for any meal.
Yeah.
We also like to do, it's a really interesting dish. It's kind of my take on an Ina Garden dish that we did for Bon Appetit 1 year. It's roasted butternut squash, but it's a salad. So you add pomegranate seeds, you add pecans to it. You can even add a little bit of barley. But you basically just kind of roast the squash. You toss everything in with it, and you can either serve it hot or cold. But it's kind of like a superfood bowl. So you have your nuts in there, you have your veggies in there, so you get some carbs, you get some protein, you get some good stuff, and it's very filling.
Plus, Thanksgiving dinner is simply not complete without pie. Pecan pie and pumpkin pie seem to be the favorites, so which ones do you like in the Gomez house?
I like to make all kinds of pies. So this year, Mellie V is actually doing a pie set of mini pies. So we're doing pumpkin, pecan, apple, and then cheesecake and key lime pie. So you're able to purchase these mini pies. They're 3-inch pies. You're able to purchase these. So that way, if you have someone in your family who's not a fan of pecan, but they love cheesecake, you get lots of different options. And it's also good if you're not having a lot of family over. So you're not feeling guilty about having to buy 5 ginormous pies. Apple's a good favorite in our house. We like to add a little bit of bourbon vanilla ice cream to it.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I'll add a little bit of extra goodies to it, like cranberries or nuts, just so there's a little bit of different texture in there.
And people can buy these pies directly from you, right?
Yes, they can. We are going to post them on the website today, so they should be up soon. You can also find them at Eleanor's Market or any market in the Heights. Just make sure that you look at our Instagram to see where we're going to be at.
And tell us about your website again and your Instagram account.
Our website is mellievcatering.square.site and our Instagram is mellieve_catering.
Well, we've arrived at the what do we do with all the leftovers stage, but unfortunately, we're out of time. So we're just going to have you back to talk about that another time. Is that okay?
Of course it is.
Mellie, happy Thanksgiving and stay cute, will you?
Thank you, my dear.
Life is short. Grill while you can. Randy will be right back with more food and fun after this break.
Randy Hames here, proud to introduce you to Belleville Meat Market, just 15 minutes south of Hempstead and 15 minutes north of Seeley on Highway 36 in Belleville. My good friends Jared and Marcus Poffenberger operate Belleville Meat Market, an old-fashioned butcher shop with superior products and great customer service. There's always a butcher on site at Belleville Meat Market, and their new processing plant is right next door. Hunters, a computer tracking system will follow your venison, wild hog, or exotics through every step of the process to ensure you get your meat your way.
At Belleville Meat Market, you can pick and choose the cuts of beef, pork, or chicken you want, and they feature 28 flavors of pecan smoked sausage. Plus, Belleville Meat Market only uses lean pork in their sausage, so you get more meat and less fat. Tailgaters, drop by on your way to the game and get just what you need to feed your crew. Belleville Meat Market, just 15 minutes south of Hempstead and 15 minutes north of Sealy on Highway 36 in Belleville. Visit BellevilleMeatMarket.com or call 979-865-5782. It's Randy Hames again. Everybody needs a video or a new website or help in managing their social media, and my company, Edgewater Digital, can help. We help small businesses navigate the intimidating world of digital marketing. You've got a business to run, and you don't have time or expertise to build and maintain your website all by yourself, and you certainly don't have time to generate content for it. And when's the last time you had an extra hour or two to manage your company's internet ads or social media accounts? Like, never, right? Well, at Edgewater Digital, that's what we do. We have a talented web design team who've built a number of incredibly successful websites for companies large and small. Need content too? No problem. Edgewater can provide copywriting, photography, and videography services to enhance the content on your website, email marketing, or even social media. We're a full-service digital marketing solution with a track record of success. Call us today at 832-500-4272 or see our website, edgewater-digital.com. Hey guys, Randy Hames here to tell you about my good friend Rick Allspa at the original Allspa's Hardware and Boutique in Kingwood. I've known Rick for years, and he's one of the finest Christian men I've ever met, but he's also got a dynamite hardware store at 2720 Westlake Houston Parkway in Kingwood. The original Allspa's Hardware and Boutique has everything you'd expect to find in a top-of-the-line hardware store, but with the personal service that's missing from the big-box stores. The original Allspa's Hardware and Boutique has tools and automotive, lawn and garden, electrical and plumbing, paint and hardware, all under one roof. But Rick is also an avid backyard chef, so the original Allspa's Hardware and Boutique features a complete barbecue pit house. From gas to charcoal grills to fryers and steamers, they've got it all at the original Allspa's Hardware and Boutique. They even offer grill maintenance and repair. Visit their website, allspas.com, or just drop by and see for yourself. The original Allspa's Hardware and Boutique at 2720 Westlake Houston Parkway in Kingwood. Boyd's One Stop. The name says it all. If you like seafood, you'll love Boyd's, conveniently located at the base of the Texas City Dike. Boyd's One Stop has bait, tackle, fresh seafood, and even a restaurant, all at 227 Dike Road. If you fish Galveston Bay, Boyd's is the one and only stop for everything you need. There's a reason why they're called the live shrimp capital of Texas. But they've also got lots of finger mullet, croaker, plus fresh dead shrimp, shad, and squid. Plus, Boyd's has tackle galore, ice and ice chests, and cold drinks and snacks. Just need fresh fish for a family seafood feast? The freshest seafood, like table shrimp, live blue crab, and crawfish when in season, is in stock and ready for you at Boyd's. And if you're hungry right now, check out Boyd's Cajun Grill Express right next door, with a wide variety of breakfast, lunch, and dinner items like crawfish, oyster po'boys, and fried seafood platters. Boyd's One Stop, the name says it all. 227 Dike Road at the base of the Texas City Dike.
May the forks be with you. This is the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show. Boyd's One Stop is located at the base of the Texas City Dike. Now, here's the guy who turns all the grills on, Randy Hames.
Normally, at this point in the show, I'd be making some stupid, silly, snarky statement that would be designed to make you laugh. Lord knows I've spent my whole life trying to make people laugh. But of course, if you've listened to this show for long, then you know it would all be to introduce my old radio buddy, Fred Olson. But unfortunately, Fred won't be joining us today on the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show, and I'll tell you why in just a few minutes. First of all, let me give you some background on the professional and personal relationship that Fred and I have enjoyed over the last 35 years or so. There's a lot more detail on our near lifelong friendship in my book, Houston's Morning Show, The True Story of Hudson and Harrigan. So if you want to know more, buy my book, please. Took me 5 years to write the darn thing. I'd love to sell a few copies. You can find it on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Goodreads, places like that. I even recorded an audiobook version, too.
It's all over the place. Audible, iTunes, Apple Books, Kobo. You won't have any trouble finding it. And I appreciate you buying it very much in advance. At any rate, Fred and I met in 1975 at a radio station in Dallas owned by the legendary Texas broadcaster Gordon McLendon, KNews 99, KNUS in Dallas. Now, we didn't start out as a team show, but our shifts were on the air back-to-back, so we got to know each other really well. Our friendship was instantaneous, and it's continued uninterrupted for the next 3.5 decades. Fred and I always had a lot of things in common, but aside from our mutual love of radio, football was one of our strongest connections. And again, if you've listened to the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show for any amount of time at all, then you know that we still like to talk about football and sports in general during our weekly visits around here in this segment. Anyway, Fred and I went our separate ways a few years later when KNUS was dismantled, and he wound up here in Houston, while I accepted the morning show gig at the oldest rock station on the West Coast, KYA AM and FM. Cindy and I loved San Francisco, but she's from Louisiana, and I'm a proud native Texan, so it wasn't long before we wound up back here, and Fred and I were reunited on the Hudson and Harrigan show. The on-air chemistry between us was just as instantaneous as was our friendship. And we co-hosted the show for 30 continuous years. It was a record for a major market morning show at the time. Not sure whether that's still true or not. Then, when the big cigars in New York decided to involuntarily retire us, that's corporate speak for we got fired, I was not only sad to lose a job that I loved, but I knew that Fred and I would drift apart over time, and that made me even sadder. Fred and his wonderful wife, Bev, moved out of the big city and set up residence in their country getaway home on a ranch out near Columbus. And for the first time in decades, Fred and I didn't talk to each other for months at a time. After all, we were accustomed to not only spending time together, we spent a lot of time together, like 6 hours a day, Monday through Friday. And that didn't even count the weekend appearances at businesses that advertised on the H&H show, or concerts, or even football games. Yes, we were the flagship station of the Houston Texans radio network. All of a sudden, we didn't come in contact with each other ever. And my fear that we would grow apart started to come true. Then I got the opportunity to host the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show, and when I started planning out the manner in which I'd put it together, I immediately thought about reuniting with Fred. So that's what I did. I invited Fred to join me on this, the last segment each week, and he happily agreed to the idea. Thus, Fred and I were back together on the radio again. Yeah, maybe it wasn't for 4 hours, 5 days a week, but we both have immensely enjoyed even one 10-minute segment each weekend, and we hope you've gotten some joy out of it, too. Sadly, as I said, Fred won't be joining us here on the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show today, which is why I'm the only voice you're hearing right now, and there's a very good reason why. Early last week, I texted Fred to give him the topic for this week's show. I always do that. But his answer was quick and to the point. He simply texted back, "Not today, pard." You know, when you spend hundreds of thousands of hours with someone, like Fred and I have over the decades, you learn how to read between the lines. I know Fred like I imagine I would know a biological brother, if I had one. I'm an only child, so I don't. But I instantly knew that something was wrong. Really, really wrong. And I was right. I tried to text him again later on, 3 different times, but he never responded. That's when I started to get deeply concerned, because Fred's never gone 24 hours without responding to me like that. Finally, he texted me back midweek and explained. His text was once again direct and to the point. "We've both tested positive for COVID-19. Been a rough week. Bev's doing much better. Doctors say I've got a few more days till I start to feel better. Not gonna die, just need bed rest. Nasty stuff. Sorry, but I don't have much of a voice. When I told my wife Cindy about it, I said, I knew he was sick when he sent me that three-word reply and then didn't respond after that for well over 24 hours. I know that man well enough to tell he wasn't feeling well. I just knew it. Now, I'm not saying I knew he had COVID-19, but I knew he was sick because a three-word answer is just not the way Fred communicates with me. So I felt it down deep in my bones. Fred was ill, very ill. You know, he just recently described right here on the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show how he and Bev were tested for allergies and how the doctor had taken him off all meds for the diagnostic tests. So I thought, he's just suffering from the allergies because he can't take meds. But nope, it's COVID-19. And the fact that Fred and Bev both got it should be a cautionary tale for all of us. Fred and Bev live out in the middle of nowhere. A large part of their lifestyle is the picture of quarantine. I mean, they sometimes go several days without even seeing another human being other than each other. Now, they do go to stores in Columbus, and they attend church regularly every Sunday. But their nearest neighbor is a mile or more away. And in spite of that remote location and their isolation, they still got the virus. I haven't talked to him about how rigorously they've worn masks or maintained social distancing, because I'm trying to leave the guy alone so he can get the bed rest he needs. But this is a stark reminder to us all. This virus is not a hoax. It's not some kind of kooky conspiracy designed to influence the election. The coronavirus is real, very real. And if two people who live way out in the country can contract it by just grocery shopping or going to church, then those of us who live here in the big city, we should be taking it seriously, very seriously. It's time to stop treating it like it's some kind of political statement and accept it for what it is, a major public health hazard. This really is a pandemic. The fact of the matter is, the number of cases and deaths are starting to shoot up again. And the people who scoff at that reality are not only endangering themselves, they're especially endangering people in my age group, in Fred's age group, because we're the ones most likely to die or be permanently physically compromised from it. This is no time for cavalier partisan nonsense. We need to come together as a nation, as neighbors, and stop fooling around. If you don't care about yourself, do it for your parents or your grandparents. Quarantine. Put on a mask. Maintain proper social distancing. Quit acting like this is no big deal. The numbers are staggering, and they're only going to get worse over the next few weeks and months. So don't be stupid. Do the right thing. I close the show today by asking for prayer for my lifelong friend and colleague, Fred, and all the other people who are battling this virus. As a matter of fact, I'll say a very brief prayer right now. Father God, heal our world. And I hope you'll do the same. I do take solace in Fred's words, not gonna die. And I hope that means he'll be back on the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show in this slot next week. Yeah, I guess that's just one more thing to be thankful for.
We hope you've enjoyed this edition of the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show. Send us your burning questions and favorite recipes in a private message on our Facebook page, The Outdoor Cooking Show, or visit our website, theoutdoorcookingshow.com. Join us next week for more tasty food and fun over a red-hot grill on the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show.
How's about cooking something up?